I heard it at least five times. I can tell you the venue that I heard this year. And it's printed in a number of places. But I think it's so fundamental, so you say the stick, that I feel constrained to share it with you. Let me just, by way of Abdullah, point out a sod that is unfortunately not so sufficiently from the Mashon, about Shas. Anyone learns the Mashon, Bob and Kabua, the Mashon lays down unbelievably this that he derived from Magali passages. By the way, Mashon also wrote a pair of Shabbat Shem Tesis. Many actually have never noticed that. Rish writes that the moment we abandon the Mashon, we abandon our Havon and Rashi Tesis. And there's no question, there's a lot of emphasis to that statement. But ultimately, the Chiyam is dieting, and that's what Omar Abayim generally assume. Hashkaf has to come from Halacha. Shooting, it's like alibis. It's not all, it's just that my rabbi said it, every rabbi I had said it. And he, without saying it, was very clear. That was their position. As opposed to the converse, where somehow people assume that you can somehow know Bashkafa without a foundation in halacha. It's not possible. And if anything, it's what rabbi of mine used to be, they called it buf balba. In English, we translate that as one big bluff. So one has to know halacha well. Learn many, many Gemaras, preferably Rosh Shas, preferably Bavli Yushalmi, preferably Dalgam Sholah, that's the ideal, all the Shus Raifu. Okay, so when you examine the rebellion of Korach, there are really two main arguments that he employed. And this is found in Chazal and Medrash, found in the Tzukim, the Chumash that we'll see in a moment, in order to gain insight into what his ideology was all about, what his motivations. And essentially, the sodas that we can derive from Korach are relevant to those who challenge Torah authority at all times, including contemporary days. I'm talking about, I mentioned that a few weeks ago I was at Chutz Laaretz, and there's a lot of discussion about what they call wokeness. I don't understand that term. Maybe you'll explain it to me since you spend more time in Chutz Laaretz than I do. I only know that I was shown a form by a left-wing Orthodox institution that I had not recovered from. A form that said, when you file an application for this school, parent one, parent two. Wow, I was shocked. Clearly, I've been out of touch with what's happening in the United States. I've been there several years. And there are even, unfortunately, a number of Orthodox, so-called Orthodox individuals who are involved in this movement. And then, you know, other movements that exist today, such as the issue that I began to speak about on Shavuos night, and hopefully eventually will continue, except possibly Sunday night, that's what's happening. But eventually I will continue on that topic of abortion, namely the issue of I own my own body. Democracy prevails. I can there's no other king. So we'll see from some of the assignments that we're going to mention that I heard. Just use one example that we just recently read in the Parshat Balesa. Where you have the Raglan. So there we have in Pasuk Chavches, Perek, Yudgimel Pasuk Chavches, Efes Ki Yasa'am HaYoshe Ba'aretz, that's understandable. You go into a country that has giants and the like, and seems to be a fortress, impregnable. So that is a very natural kind of fear. But it's not a rebellion. It's not a meren that was taking place. And the fact is that desert life can be frightening. The conditions of desert life, we're talking about arid, parched, large tracts of land that seem to be wasteland. So it can clearly engender all kinds of emotional extremes. So we can expect some of those complaints there. Certainly not in any way to be validated by the Torah. However, they are complaints of a natural nature. I'll give you a few more examples. Let's say in Shmos, that's probably even a better example. Shmos, it should be in Perek Yudalid. And there in Perek Yudalid, when Paul Yisrael are
leaving in Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud, Ufaro hikriv, by Yisub ben Yisrael say nehem, by Bine Mitzrayim nosiach areyem, by Yiru'u ma'od, by Yitzhaku ben Yisrael Hashem. In front of them, the Yam, behind them, the Egyptians. There's no water when there's thirst. That certainly is something that would prompt, understandably, a reaction, a response. And for that matter, a bit later, hunger. Another pretty obvious hungry person is often an angry person. And here again, take a look in Perek Tezayin, Sukkim Beis and Gimel, in Perek Tezayin. There also we see this issue. Wow, what an expression. No one agrees with Rashi. It was not precipitated by idolatrous ideas, by philosophic doubts. Rather, it was motivated, again, by primitive, instinctive fear. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't return on the appointed day. And as a result, they felt leaderless. They were leaderless. That's how the Ramban Barichus describes the Cheta Egel. They were literally lost sheep, that the shepherd abandoned them, abandoned his flock, and they were looking, the way the Ramban writes, to find some tangible symbol of security to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Ramban, B'Lashon HaZoh. So, and they used all kinds of demagoguery. That's the only term that could be actually employed over here to arouse the masses. And the question is authority, and also from their perspective, there was no shortage of nepotism, jobs that were given out. I mean, we're familiar with that. Anyone living in this country? Wow, we're surrounded by it. And it's viewed as something which is clearly very much in vogue. And of course, it's justified as well. But essentially, they formed a new ideology. I mean, what the women, the chutzars, were saying, my body, I came in a Hafkanah. A Hafkanah in Teaneck, New Jersey. I happened to be waiting for someone there, and I ended up with a Hafkanah. Women who are essentially, clearly pro-abortion and the like, and how could Roe v. Wade undo and negate everything that they've had for the last 50 years. And among them were two or three Jewish women. I don't know how Orthodox they were, but they were Jewish. How do I know? The person that was with me told me. He recognized them. Wow, that was quite shocking. Anyone who knows me, I'm a very curious fellow. And so I decided to speak to one of them and see what their thinking was. And the thinking was quite simple. This is my body. This is my life. And no one can tell me what to do, as I mentioned before. And the system is illogical. I'm the only one who has any logic. No one else. I'm the Asiyai. So here we don't see desert fears in Korach. You don't see sudden ungratified needs that prompted the rebellion. It was not a spontaneous outbreak of the masses. It was essentially a conspiracy for power. That's how the Rishonim, we'll take a look here at the Ramban, actually Zirak is part of the Ramban, and the Ramban here, I'll just read part of his Lashon, that when did the enmity of Korach began? There's a famous Machlok, Ibn Ezra and Ramban, one of the most famous Machloks among the Rishonim. Ibn Ezra argued that this story happens after the completion of the Mishkan. Wow, it's way much The Ramban is very critical of that position, both Rashi and then the Ibn Ezra. Ramban calls that position, they hold, and look to look about Torah, Kirtzainam. Kirtzainam means whimsically. Whenever it suits their fancy, whenever it arouses their pique, they apply this principle of look to look about Torah. Now, Ramban says, Chas v'sholom. Only if there's some compelling reason that will constrain us to invoke and look to look, do we do so? But that's Tamazek. So the Ramban here writes that Ukvar kosavti ki aldaiti kol haTorah kaseder. Only if it's explicit in the text that there's a reason for going ahead and inverting things. So this happened after the Ma'aseh Meraglim. No reason why we should not accept the juxtaposition of the two parshiyos of Shlach and Korach. V'anochem b'dvash ekras Korach al-Nasiyos el-Tzofim b'mavar Chazal v'kine gam ba'aron. And it has nothing to do with the Bechaira, the way the Ibn Ezra contended. That it's an issue of the Bechaira when they were the exchange between the Bechaira and the Levium. No. But rather, they were Moshe saved us in the context of the Kenem Baraglim. That was the terrible Chet. Wow, what a statement. And now we have a whole series of events. V'nisavu ba'esha tabeira. U'meisav b'kivra satav v'rabim. V'chasher chotib v'ragim lo espal v'moshe aleim. V'lo... politicians, which my position is, s'chor s'chor nazir l'kamach l'sikrot. Don't get near them. I think I mentioned a few times about salvation. We learned the Mishnah and Trumas. And the Mishnah said politica. And he didn't know what that word meant. So he referred to Yaakov Emdin. Politica equals sheker. That's politica. So we're familiar with opportunists. And that's how the Ramban interprets the rebellion of Korach. That was a propitious moment that Korach had been waiting for. The severe punishment, Moshe's inability apparently to undo the gzeirah. We're a shock to the people. Moshe promised us he's going to take us to land, flowing with milk and honey, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And now, 39 years of wandering was Amat, a Zman of Hester Ponim, as Chazal described in a number of Gemaras and Midrashim. And Moshe's helplessness reduced his popularity to a very low ebb. And that was a moment of disillusionment, of despair. And that's when Korach came in for the kill. An opportunist sparks a lot. And what's fascinating is the expression that the Chazal actually speak about, this expression, Barichos. Vayikach Korach. Wow, what a... This habed yom nishpach, habed kumusim nishtablu. Bitu yazeh, vayikach Korach. What exactly did it take? So Rashi here on the spot suggests an enlargement of the conspiracy from his own personal agreements, he formed an anti-Moshe Rabbeinu movement. Rashi said, Lokach esatzmo letzad echon, to separate himself from the tzibur in order to raise a protest regarding the appointment of Aaron HaKohen as the Kohen Gadol. Another explanation is of Rashi, he won over the Rashi HaSanhedrin by cogent arguments. Essentially, Korach was a pikeh achoya. Chazal says, an intelligent man. So what did he do? A campaign. Mamish Lahabdil. They have Alfie Abdul. It's a political campaign. What do politicians do? What are they doing right now in this country? Once the government is about to fall, Kashamati. So now, cajolery, persuasion, flattery, sarcasm, cynicism, whatever works. And the Medrash has a very beautifully described. At certain points, he posed as a champion of justice. The story of the Almona, Medrash Tanchuma. Wow, what a story. And sometimes, of course, Talish Shekula Tcheles. Bayis Mali Svarim. How could that Talos be Chayim? It sits here. How could that Bayis Mali Svarim be Chayim Mezuzah? Clearly, the entire halachic enterprise is illogical. Against rationality, has no common sense to it, no seichel to it. So that's what he argued. So the Vayikach, I saw in some of the Farshim, they translate Vayikach, when one is dedicated to the task, a personal commitment to the point of self-endangerment. I don't care what happens. I'm committed. I have a resolve. That's what the Ramban writes. Ramban says it's a mental kind of resolve that he's going to go ahead and succeed. And but we understand that every rebellion needs some sort of ideology in order to arouse the fervor of the masses to sustain its momentum. If I have a private quarrel, that's not going to have much momentum. It won't do anything. So I have to go ahead and create a slogan, create a motto that will be popular among the tzibur. And there are two arguments that are advanced by Korach. This time my Rebbe understood the Korach strategy. Very fascinating. One is actually found in Chumash, and the other is described in great length by Chazal. So let's start with the first argument. Essentially, what right do you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have to assume leadership and power over your fellow Jew? Every Jew is equally chosen by Hashem. Every Jew has inherent kedusha, whether he's a great personality or even a chotei beitzim, shor be'mayim, the Tzukim writes at the end of Sefer Dvorim, and that's the argument. Everyone is kadosh. You're guilty of hitnasut. That's a word that's used in modern Hebrew. Gaiva. Why should you raise yourself above the assembly of Hashem? And that was the presumption of Moshe and Aaron to authority, to rule, to judge, to lead. And it's a basic, I guess you might call it a Jeffersonian egalitarian principle. Namely, democracy. Not all men are created equal, but all Jews are chosen equal. That's a fundamental challenge to authority and someone who presumes to be in a position of power. And this is one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite themes. He mentioned it so many times in so many different shiurim and drashos, and here it's very explicit in the text, Lefi Ani Uzdaiti. I'll just read you a lashon of a pasuk, which really, I think, is almost explicit. By David Korach, we'll call it Osalemor Boker. Take a look at these two verbs, or these two nouns, or both verbal and noun forms. Number one, Hakadosh v'yikrivei lov, and then Yivchar bo yakrivei lov. These are two different aspects which are very significant in halacha. Number one, I'll give you another example of this as well. But the first is kedusha. All of us have Kedushas Yisrael, and there's no distinction between one Jew and another Jew. No matter what position a Jew may occupy, the Kedushas Yisrael is unquestionably identical. However, regarding Bechira, regarding what is our Tafkid, what we've chosen for, each one of us are different, markedly different one from the other. And this is very clearly a very essential, fundamental point that you see. I'll give you, as I said, one or two other examples that you see. As I mentioned often, there's a pasuk in Chumash that's found twice, with one exception. There's one Vav Achibur, and it's found actually in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, both in Parshas Vayeschana and then Re'eh. Kiyam kadoshat al Hashem alokecha. And Re'eh it says, "Uvecha bachar Hashem dios toliam zbulu v'kol amir shafi adova." With the Vav Achibur in Vayeschana, kiyam kadoshat al Hashem alokecha, becha bachar Hashem on the Vav Achibur. So Rashi comes to Re'eh. Rashi says, Kiyam kodeshat al Hashem alokecha, says Rashi. Voi! Rashi has one word. Uvecha bach Hashem. So what's Rav Soloveitchik in classic risk understanding? Tvei dinim. There are tvei dinim here. Rashi says, Kedushas atzmecha v'yavisecha, voi uvecha bach Hashem. So basically the same yisod was articulated at that shir. Namely, everyone has inherent kedusha. All of us have the same kedusha. And we know Yisrael, Abishnachot, Yisrael, who kedusha Yisrael cannot be undone. On the other hand, regarding Bechira, all of us have a different Bechira, a different tafkid. Everyone has their own tafkid to carry out. It's hard. People ask me all the time, young people, how do I know what my tafkid is? That's an excellent question. I'm still trying to figure out what my tafkid is. But eventually, the Ribbono Shel Olam leads different people. B'dash Shalom writes a letter, Malik HaNosel Gemara says, and it's clear a person has to know what his peches are and utilize them in the proper kind of way. Let me just mention one more. The same idea which is found again, Rashi over there as well. I can bring you 10 other rights. This is But it's really the sod here, which is very much embedded in this parsha. Let me just sum it up, and then Rabbi Weishlitter, you can speak. That I think Rav Soloveitchik used to have different definitions of this. One he called, I think, the social aspect of Kedusha, and one he called the individual aspect of Kedusha. The social aspect of Kedusha, which is Bechiras Am Yisrael, each individual possesses Kedusha, I'm a member of Klal Yisrael. And every child born of a Jewish mother is a member of Klal Yisrael. And unlike many who think that, no, if I serve in Tzal, I can be a non-Jew wearing a cross. Now, but somehow, I become a member of Klal Yisrael. That's a definition which has no funded foundation in Halacha. No anchor whatsoever. I can be committed to Klal Yisrael. If I'm not born of a Jewish mother, I'm not Jewish. And then there's a second Kedusha, besides the individual Kedusha, a kind of cardinal Kedusha, if you will, Knesset Yisrael. What was that?
First one was the social one?
Yeah, he called the social aspect was the essential, each individual possesses Kedusha, we're a member of Klal Yisrael. And that really is more of a tzibur, the communal kind of Kedusha, the soul of Kedusha, born of a Jewish mother. But the other one is the, as I said, I'm not sure how, which one actually he referred to, I don't remember now, but whatever the case is, one is, as I said, a communal, and one is more individual in nature. I'm sorry, yeah, I don't know what I said.
Individual.
No, yes, that's correct, that's what we're getting to. Kohen, Levi, so many. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, obviously. Correct. I mean, many times I wanted to be Abi Yisrael, but I always wanted to be a Kohen. When the on the Shal Shri Golem, I used to go under the. My father used to hold on to me, hold on to all my brothers, and I used to escape. I'm a middle child, so therefore I have middle child syndrome issues and rebelliousness and what have you. Anyway, Zema showed me a psychiatry. So I simply carry out their wishes. Anyway, so I used to run away. I used to go and all kinds of gesticulation, hand motions, trying to. And then later on, I was told that I can't be a Kohen because I'm Israel. Wow. What a sad kind of recognition. But that's a Bechira. So the point being that Bechira Sayochid, as opposed to being part of a Tzibur, so I'll let you one set of shir. I thought it was very mechudosh. I'm not going to discuss it right now, but I'll just tell you the how he understood. And he said it in terms of the Rashi in Ve'eh that I mentioned a moment ago. He thought it has halachic nafkaminas. Namely, let's take one example that he used. Mumar. What's the status of Mumar pi alocha? That's a Mumar pi alocha has many, many. Oh, it went off. It says low battery. What's the status of Mumar pi alocha? We take a few Gemaras all over Shas. Mumar shekidesh. So we pass it, Kedusha, Kedusha. That's why I pass it alocha. That if he marries, his marriage is chal. Why? He's a mumah. Mumah la'aches, let's say. Mumah fahesya. Rashi yichum, dafeh. Got a korbonus. That's a problem. A mumah cannot bring a korban. Beis Hamikdash. Okay, I'll give you a whole series of examples. Now, so this is totally on this Rashi. That regarding things that depend on Kedushas Israel, the individual Kedushas Israel. So if he attempts to effect a Kedushin to marry a Jewish woman, the Kedushin is chal, because that's totally on Kedushas Israel. The other aspect, namely the Gabi Kabonos, that's totally on the Bechira. From Van and Base, they're dos. I got Shia, several hours Shia on this topic. He had many Nafiminas. I think it's Mechudash Mo'ob, Bashu Amar. I'm not in a position to argue with my Rebbe, Bechal. Offer on the Taras Kamas Vatla. But Yesh Bezev Akob Badun. Bechal Zod, I'm back to this, this issue. Korach failed to understand, and that's really what the Pasuk says. Before I should talk about this, Boker, V'yoda Hashem Esa Shalom. I said Boker, what kind of expression is that? So the word Boker, many Mepharshim, the doctor can say this, comes from the word Livaker. Lo Yivaker ben Tov L'Rab Lo Yimirenu. It's looking at the end of Ayikwa. We can lay into the Pasha of Tzmura. Lo Yivaker ben Tov L'Rab Lo Yimirenu. So here also, Boker, V'yoda Hashem Esa Shalom, V'yes HaKadosh V'yikru V'ilom. But basically, Moshe said to Korach, your ideology is like Erev. Part of the larger Ego, all individuals lose their distinctiveness, almost like a kind of corporate type of approach. What is Korach? Korach Va'adoso. It's almost like a Lahabdil, a socialism, a communism. Essentially, we're all kafuk to the state. Well, we have a good example right over there. A good friend in Russia, Putin. That's how he thinks. Lavdin, the Balfi Abdullah. So that's when Korach somehow understood the Jewish philosophy of power, of leadership. He identified it with kingship, leadership with political authority. I mean, here we see this also. Here that's itself. Somehow people assume that if I'm the prime minister, I can get there using all kinds of every means and stratagem available. It's all mutter. Why? Because it's for the ultimate end, which of course is being the Rosh Hashanah. And Korach says that essentially each individual doesn't have any authority necessarily, but rather we are subordinate to the state, to the corporate entity, a kind of totalitarianism, socialism, communism, I'm not sure how to describe it, and that's very meduric in Lashonos of Eda. Always Eda, 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 Adas Kerach. Many times mentioned Chumash. The Torah always telegraphs very important hashgofes by language. That's how the Torah actually communicates this kind of thing. But in our hashgofa, we don't subscribe to that. Moshe, even though he has a Din Melech, as they say, the Ramban, many Rishonim, big Machlokes of Rishonim, Yeshua also had a Din Melech, Pasuk, the beginning of Paragalv of Yeshua, Bach Hazak Ve'ematz, and anyone who's married, that's the source of Rebbe Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu is not called Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not called Moshe Malkeinu. Even though it's a Din Melech, it's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that's the ultimate tradition, is David HaMelech, is a Rav, is a Pesach. So we're not, essentially, we're Talmidim, who voluntarily choose to listen to Gedolei Yisrael and the like. No, it's basically, it's a spiritual kingship, not a political kingship. That's not the key. The key is not politics. Moshe was a king in a political sense. Chazal derived in the Pasuk. That Vayim Bishur Melech, I'll lose every Shayna, whatever he refers to. So the Dvarim over there, Paraklam and Gimel, I believe it is. Vayim Bishur Melech, Misasi Vashir, Nachashi Dei Yisrael, either refers to Hashem is Barach, or it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Adin Melech. Many rise for this, Moshe Adin Melech. But the political king of Klal Yisrael is at best Melech Evyayim, not Melech Elyon. Melech Elyon was only the Eivishta. The Bavishta was Melech Elyon. So what elevated Moshe Rabbeinu was not his role as the manager of Klal Yisrael, but rather his spiritual uniqueness, his teaching role, the Rebbe Talmud relationship. So that's one argument that Korach somehow had this notion, this corporate notion, corporate entity idea, and of course he wanted to be the one who was on top of the pile. There's a second argument of Korach, which is also challenging the writer Moshe Rabbeinu.
Isn't it a stira?
What?
Isn't it like a stira?
Why is it a stira?
Everybody supported equality.
Yeah. Why so that everyone is no. That's exactly. It's not a stira because it's true that everyone is equal, but we have one person. Clearly, is above all men.
It's no good.
Okay. A second issue, which to me is also something which I see with my name on, is this, unless one is really rooted in Torah, and as I said, Torah Ashkafa only comes from really being mushrash in halacha, that essentially every one of us has the right to interpret halacha. Every single one of us, with our common sense, with our logic, with our everyone, Baruch Hashem, all of us have seichel, and no Jew is above another Jew. So if that's the case, the Korach rebellion formulated in such a ideology of the mass appeal. That's what I mentioned before, that Tal Shekula Tcheles, what Rashi called, Sayichai Vetzitzis, Nachai Vetzitzis, and Moshe's reply was met with ridicule because it's illogical, and the same thing with Bais Mavi Svarim, does it require mezuzah? And again, the Moshe's answer ran counter to common sense, ran counter to logic. So basically, what did Korach say? Any intelligent person can interpret halacha using common sense. And it's derived from, I don't know, empirical experience, derived from my Ein Nisayon, Ein Chacham Kebal Nisayon. I have a bit of experience in life, and that should give me the confidence to go ahead and issue Piske Halacha. All these ritual committees, or I don't know what they call them, response commissions, not so learned in the intricacies of halacha. They call the approach, someone told me just now, creative halacha. That's what they call it, creative halacha. What a term. So that's a Korach essentially. By the way, this is not just a contemporary phenomenon. goes back to Chazal. I remember that when I learned Bava Basra, so the Gemara says in Bava Basra, this goes back to the days of the Tzdukim. One of the machlokin between the Tzdukim and the Prushim, so the Chachamim decided that it's actually a Mishnah, I believe, in Masechus Yadayim, if I'm not mistaken. It's called by Gemara Bava Basra, but it's a Mishnah in Yadayim. So the Chachamim said that since the line of Yerusha goes from the son, that goes up Sukkim over here, in Parshas Pinchas, so therefore the daughter of the son takes precedence over the deceased's own daughter. It's a granddaughter before daughter. So Gemara, that's a Mishnah Yadayim. So Gemara Bava Basra. So using a Kal Vachomer, a more logical argument, the Tzdukim argued in vain that if it's conceivable that a granddaughter, which is the daughter of the deceased son, if she can inherit his property, she's an heir to the deceased because she's obviously a scion. So Kal Vachomer, the deceased daughter, should certainly inherit his property and take precedence over the granddaughter. Kal Vachomer. Gemara Bava Basra. Where's that Gemara? Somewhere around there. Gemara over there. Yesh Lechel. So logically, lechora, the tzukim are right, but the halach is not always identical with common sense. Halach has its own methodology, its own principles. I remember that when I studied geometry, my father was very into math. He wanted me to be in that area, math and science. You can see, I went on to derech. So there are corollaries, there are principles of geometry. You have to operate with them. And the guy wrote a paper on Euclidean geometry. My father studied it for me. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But I was a sophomore in high school when that happened, because we studied geometry as a sophomore in high school. Anyway, so the halacha has its own methodology, its own matter of analysis, its own schemata, its own conceptual formulation. I'll give you another example. I also took many courses in philosophy. So Aristotelian physics, it was actually proven to be faulty because it was governed by common sense. Why do objects fall? Because they have weight. Kevin amasa. That's what causes objects to fall. So lechura, that seems to be logical. Seems to be evidently logical. And that was actually disproven by Galileo, by Newton, and they actually showed that it was not correct. And they replaced with this kind of understanding with abstract scientific laws. I'm not going into that. I'm just saying that halacha has its own logic, its own schemata, its own svaris. There's a fascinating statement in the Bala Tanya. He writes that the svaris, that the person, I think I mentioned this a few times, I pointed out that our Soleil once had a conversation with his cousin, going to Russia fighting, that's all. The question is, why do we start teaching young children? I know I learned when I was in fifth grade, Elul Matzias. I don't think I've seen it since. But I learned Elul Matzias, Yesh Lamedas, all the Kasha, Bible, all the back and forth. And why do we do that? Or I think that's generally what was done. I don't know. That would, the Bashasita. Yeah, I'm kidding. Both of ours. Most people. Okay. So Elul Matzias, some people learn Meruba, maybe Ashoyo. So the question is, why Dafka? Lashon Nezikin. So our salvation book, the reason is obvious. All the sharp svaris are Lashon Nezikin. Vam Shutin. Then all the sharp svaris, the Tzeish, the Shmaitza, and let's say the Kedushin, the Abimiluim, all those are Dafka, there is a Lashon Nezikin. Rav Moshe Feinstein said he didn't agree with our salvation. Didn't agree with his cousin. He thought the reason is why we learn Babu Kama, Babu Tzir, Babu Basa. Because we want to teach young children to have their cheretz for other people's property, for other people's person, for their have respect. Basically, their cheretz. So Rav Moshe thought that even though I'll be slow, he said, I'm right, but Rav Moshe is right. He said, the MS Rav Moshe is 100% correct. So the point I'm just trying to make is that this idea, this notion that Korach had, that everything depends on logic, and my logic is as good as that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Bala Tanya writes that all the svaras in Bamutsia, Babakam, Babasut, at the end of the day, these svaras that are being discussed in Shamayim, in Pabali Shamalia, these svaras are being discussed. That which we do down here is being discussed up there. So basically, all his challenges of Talos and Mezuzah was on behalf of, let's call it, what's more important? Well, I hear from people all the time who are not necessarily so observant. I have a good heart. Rachman Olima boy.
Hashem wants my heart.
And according to that approach, what's more important? The inner feeling, the regesh, or the cold maisei hamitzvah? Yavish Gates. And the answer is obvious. Yavish Gates has more significance than the inner feeling. Inner feeling has value only insofar as it reflects or stimulates the maisei hamitzvah, somehow is able to generate a Baruch Hashem, a more profound kind of feeling, a lave and the light. But unquestionably, this notion that we should modify mitzvahs, I mean, this is basically what all the other movements that are off the derech, that's what they suggest. The ikar is the lave, and the maisei mitzvah has a minimalistic value. And anyone who knows Torah well knows that behind the maisei mitzvah there's a fire, a raging fire, eish. Baba Kama, not just one of the Dalai the Zikit, happens to be H, but the whole Baba Kama is H. Unbelievable. Anyone who learns Krisus, H, H Lahaba, and Mishnah and Masechus Yadayim as well. But one cannot get there, and that's what Karach argued. There's the value of Tcheles, it's a reminder of Hashem, why limit it to one thread? He gets to generate the emotion, arouse the feeling, and logically he was right. The purpose of the Maisa Mitzvah is to reflect the experience, the inner experience. But at the end of the day, as I said, what's primary? The Maisa Mitzvah. As dry and yavesh as it is, that's critical. Much more so than the inner experience. Av Soloveitchik said all she has found actually in Darsha Hashem Sech. I like that sefer a lot. So that sefer on Chumash, so he has a discussion about another Ravir, what the Chet was. The person says, many Rishayim have a field day with the Chetvas. And Mebish, long series of Midrashim, why they sin. But the Pasuk says, by Akrivu Eish Zara of the Hashem, Asher Lo Tziva Oysam. Bottom line is the Tziva Hashem. That's what we have to carry out. The Tzav Hashem has to be carried out. It's not always easy to figure out what the Tzav Hashem is. But that's what we have to do. And then subsequently, then one can go ahead and hopefully the feeling, the emotion will come as well. Gemara says, Bola Matzah Yotza. Gemara Abim Sochim. Bola Matzah. You know, Rashi says twice in Shas. In Brothers and Abim Sochim. That you need the Chatkila Tam Matzah as well. But Bola. I eat a trunk and a piece of matzah. I remember one of my grandchildren told me this Pesach is about 2.5. It's ready to have matzah with that chocolate spread. Chocolate spread and matzah is a Valdik. What could be better? Bola Matzah Yotza. The external mitzvah is more critical. So there's really a tension between the physical mitzvah prescribed by Shulchan Aruch and the subjectivity, the dveikus. Oh boy, now this could lead me to a lot of areas, which some people who know me, some of you do already, regarding the role of music and regarding more or less a lot of what's out there today, which has become very popular, even though I'm not poo-pooing its value. Dr. Stern, I'm not. There's value to all these, how shall we call them, seances. I'm not sure what they are, tishim. They're beautiful. There's no question about it. But it has to come from, ultimately, a commitment to Maisa Mitzvah and to Limud HaTorah. The question is, what comes first? That's the argument that they have with me. They claim this can come first. And my response is, if that comes first, it's Buch Baum. Odishkin Tan. Has no foundation, has no anchor. You need an anchor first. Okay, can they come simultaneously? Baruch, I think so. But that one should come before the other, I don't fully understand it. I'm not saying there's no Avedi Shemalei. Tzvila's Avedi Shemalei. Avedi is a Tzvila, the Amman, the Gemara Tainis, many Rishonim. But this primacy to the emotion, the inner feeling, and Dveikus is very choshev. And the reason why somehow we don't give primacy to it is because, number one, it's volatile, it's constantly changing, it's unstable, it's not concrete. And we'd have to constantly be vacillating and constantly readjusting ourselves and the like. And secondly, each person has a different experience. I can't compare my experience to your experience. And we'd have to change constantly to reflect the different feelings of people at different times. And to my mind, it would fragmentize Avedas Hashem. We can't. What's the term today? Do your own thing. I deal with young Talmidim, and that's how they feel. We got to do our own thing. For the Rav, We're going to do our own thing. They're very young. And hopefully, you know, that's a Mumbai bear. Youth is a Mumbai bear. It passes after a while. And the reason why we give priority to the Maisa Mitzvah, because we have a clear gauge. It's called the Shulchan Aruch, for knowing what is some hedonistic frenzy from a really intense religious experience. We have an objective way of having measuring exactly this, because today there are hypnotic experiences, people on the influence of drugs, and they say that's a religious experience. Every Dalaram is someone who's snorting away, and the thrill of music, the beautiful music. I mean, the pagans also had all kinds of orgies, orgiastic ceremonials, that's what they did, exactly. And they call that religious experience. But at the end of the day, the Torah wants a religious experience to emerge out of a Maisa Mitzvah, out of Liman HaTorah, not from aesthetic craving, not from external stimulants. I remember our Soloveitchik once pointed out, he said that you go, the further left you go in the different religious denominations, you'll notice that the experience becomes a more of an aesthetic experience. You go to a conservative synagogue, they already have murals. You go to a Reform synagogue, they have pictures of Rembrandt and artistic, really, creations that are beautiful, clearly. But that's not so significant to us. The architecture of a synagogue was never important to Klal Yisrael. Modern fashions and buildings and all these grand edifices are salvation, as opposed to the Chagall windows in Hadassah Aswan. The other was Osir to Davide. Osir Pidin to Davide. Even though it's beautiful, no question about it. But the piety of a Jew is not reflecting my surroundings. I'm supposed to have a religious experience, not an aesthetic experience in a shul. That's not what a shul is all about.
This image was pretty amazing.
It was. There's no question about it. But maybe that's a seven aloch, maybe it's a migdash. This is a migdash ma'at. Maybe it's ma'at in that respect. Okay, I'm just simply. There's no question. That was also different.
What's next?
Ashura Sashina. Okay, my point is, I see I'm a little bit, anyway, so I will just be deciding that it's clear that first the person has to somehow become very rooted in his knowledge of halacha, knowledge of the Torah, and try to do the Maisa Mitzvah, the way the halacha requires us. And of course, then subsequently, we hope that Mitz Hashem will be able to as well engender the emotion and the experience, the chavaya. I mean, a person eats matzah, I said earlier, bala matzah yotza. So initially it's a very dry, mechanical kind of mitzvah. But hopefully the matzah will engender in us what the Mishnah writes in Avim Sochim, it will lead to Shemach Vaidah, to Hashem Yisbarach. That's the correct approach. First, do the Maisa mitzvah properly, and then hopefully Mitz Hashem come to the ultimate religious experience of Vekas and Hashem Yisbarach and connecting with all our hearts and souls.
Yeah.